Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome to the Full 90 Soccer Time Podcast, our weekly, sometimes look into Seattle Sounders FC, nerdy soccer culture, cutting Eastern Washington commentary, and an attempt to understand the, in this state, literally hottest soccer league not funded by foreign royalty, MLS.
I am feeling that.
Yeah.
I am feeling that right now.
Watched your wife's Instagram story today. There's a lot of shirtless Brandon in it, which is, pretty sexy, I guess. We're your hosts for Mornings on 107.7 The End. I'm Gregor, and he's been in the locker room, on the pitch, and in the stats booth at what used to be called CenturyLink Field. He's Spokane Brandon.
I've never been shirtless at CenturyLink Field. Is that true? Have I ever been shirtless at CenturyLink? I've never taken my shirt. I'm not a Jan Jose fan, first of all.
Yeah, sure.
So I've kept my shirt on. The reason I'm shirtless, in a few of those, is A, it's so goddamn hot here. Like, it is so hot.
Yeah,
you know, I know in Seattle on the west side, y'all got one day of 100 degrees and everybody lost their mind. In Spokane, we have like 8 straight days of 105 or over. Like, we've hit 111. I know you're from New Mexico, so you're fine. Yeah. But like here, I mean, I don't have AC. I'm in this little room right
here. Wait, you don't have AC?
We have like one window unit.
What?
And so I'm sitting in my office right now with the
what
door
are you doing?
With my door closed so the dogs don't come in here. And like by the end of this podcast, if I start like speaking absolute gibberish, it's because I'm having heat stroke. You should probably call somebody.
No, I'm going to keep recording and see if you can say funny things. Yeah, yeah, come on. Wow. Why don't you have air conditioning? You live in, I mean, effectively the 8th layer of hell, right? Like
that explains all the Republicans here.
No comment. Well, I had no idea, because that was my next question. Is, well, I have two things. One, I want to see you go nips out at a Sounders match. Okay. Yeah. I good thing I have downsized the window screen. I can only see the top of your head. You know, also, don't further on that. Secondly, what percentage of people in Spokane have air conditioning?
I don't know what I know it's a lot because they've been doing the rolling blackouts here because they're worried about. So if I disappear for a little bit here during the podcast, you know why. I was out eating pizza the other night, and the pizza shop's power went out, and we were all like, what are you going to do with that beer before it gets warm?
They're like, it's only going to be an hour. Like,
you know how many Coors Light I could slam in an hour? Anyway, so one of the other reasons is I'm going to be a dad now. And so I was grilling, and I was like, well, if I'm going to be a dad, I got to grill with my shirt off. And I was cooking bacon on like one of these flat top things that you put in the grill. Let me tell you, worst idea I've had in a very long time.
That whole sentence you just said was real bad. Like, it was like the whole idea just from start to end is just, there's nothing. How many dads are shirtlessly grilling? The shirtless look is the young man's look, sir.
Nah, man, I grew up in Maple Valley. All the dads, tarps off all the time.
Tarps off. Tarps off, tits out. Let's go.
Oh, yeah. My dad was also the, like, if you have a couple guys, you know, you're like in middle school or whatever, you have a couple of your boys stay over and you're playing NFL Blitz 2001 up until the wee hours of the night, and your dad comes in his whitey tighties and nothing else, telling y'all to turn the video games off, and you're like, come on, man, like, just put some shorts on at least. Like, I'm not trying to see my dad dick in the whitey tighties.
Well, do us a quick solid and click up through the Apple Podcasts, give us a rating,
definitely 5 stars,
but leave us a comment. Just tell us who you'd rather look at than Brandon's naked dad.
Not naked, just mostly naked. From Magnus Wolf Ikram to Mario Martinez.
Man, Mario Martinez was bombing down the sideline to make a play, and he ran right, like, he did something awesome, and he ran right up to the ad board, and he looked up right at me, and I was like, yeah! And he was, he, like, smiled at me, like, we had this, like, moment in the middle of 60,000 people screaming or whatever. It was amazing. I'll never forget that guy.
Do you think he'll never forget that, too?
He forgot it later that day.
When he was standing around in his living room telling his kids to turn off the N64 and his whitey tighties, he was like, ah, oh, man, you remember that guy in the first row? Anyway, last week we didn't ask you to tell us your favorite player. We asked you to tell us what I should name my child. I'm having a kid, if you remember, in January, and we don't quite know the gender yet, but we did ask you to submit the names of what you think we should name our child. We got a couple responses on Twitter, but Aaron the Math Man, the guy that we always ask for math equations and how many new who's is a Raul Ruiz Diaz.
Yeah, yeah.
Aaron the Math Man says on iTunes, he said, the mathematical perfect name. Brandon, you should name your child Freddy. It's gender neutral and is a club legend. Is Freddy gender neutral? Is that a pretty gender neutral name?
Yeah, because it's either Fredward or...
Fredita?
I don't know. Yep, there you go.
Okay. Frederica, maybe.
Yeah, sure.
He says, my favorite Sounders player new is a tie between Steph Fry and Jordan Morris. And player of old is Roger Levesque, which, hey, I'm with you on that. Roger is a club legend for the celebrations alone.
Who you call it old? He's like, oh, I'm older than Roger Levesque also. Like, oh. All right. Well, this week, the look at me now, I'm all the way up. Sounders FC take on the surprisingly better than, like, ever Colorado Rapids.
Yeah, I think that's true for both teams, honestly. The Sounders having their best season in club history, undefeated into going into week 12. And Colorado Rapids, not undefeated, but being better than the typical Colorado Rapids.
Yeah, they're in fourth place in the West right now, which is, I literally started by looking at the bottom of the table to find them, and I was like, wait, are they not a West Coast team?
Something's not right.
Yeah, for real, I legitimately thought that I was like, oh, they must be East Coast or Eastern Conference? Weird. Yeah. And then I was like, fourth? What?
These guys that the last time they faced the Sounders beat them 3-1? Yeah.
Great. Yeah. But the Sounders are up for it. We talked about... before, in the last episode, we talked about how you weren't worried about it being a trap game anymore, and what happened?
Yeah, well,
immediately played to the trap. So,
yeah, I think it's different when you had a rivalry game, right? When you have somebody like the Vancouver Whitecaps come in and they've been
the Salt Lake City Whitecaps,
the fake Salt Lake Whitecaps. They come in and it's somewhat of a rivalry match, despite the fact that the Sounders are undefeated, I think, against the Whitecaps in the last something like 15 matches they've played against them. So that's wonderful. But still remain undefeated against the team, thanks to of all people, number one striker in MLS, Jimmy Madronda, scoring a banger from outside the box. And
well, hold on now. Let me give my review of what this match actually looked like.
You know
what?
You said in the last match that you were taking your kid. This wasn't his first match, right? This would not have been his first match.
Oddly, COVID did something really weird. My boy went with us to a match at the beginning of last season, maybe, because he was 2.5 when we took him, thinking like, oh, he'll get this. He's watched me watch it. He talks about it. We have him in soccer class or whatever. And so we took him right before everything shut down, right?
Yeah.
And he was not amused at all. He just didn't care. He was like, mama, 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 the whole time, right? As one does. But... So we thought,
no, son, it's Marco Papa, Papa, Papa.
Papa? No, not that either. So we took him this time, and I was like, hey, do you remember the last time we did this? And no, he doesn't remember. I guess when kids turn about 3, they like have a memory dump. They don't like, they go from pooping their pants to the potty, and it like becomes a same thing with their memories, right? And so... We're going, and he has no idea of it. He doesn't remember me ever going into the office. He has no idea of what the pre-COVID times were, which is kind of sad. But also, he doesn't remember ever going to the grocery store, so we don't have to take him there, which is nice. So we get there, and he's very excited to go. I bought him a little matching jersey, and he kept pointing at everyone else's and being like, they have your shirt. And I'm like, no, we both have it. It's the team shirt. No concept of this whatsoever. We get there pretty early. He has to wear a mask the whole time, and there's no mask restriction, or there's no... mask requirement for adults in our section because we're vaccinated, but kids can't get vaccinated. So he has to wear a mask the whole time, but because of that, we have to wear masks too, otherwise he won't wear it. And so it's 99 degrees outside. We show up to this game. You're wearing a mask. It made me feel terrible for everyone in hot places that was masking up for the last year and a half with that swamp growing on their face. It's like, ooh, there's like plankton now in your teeth and stuff. Because
you go from having swass to swask.
I'm sorry. And so we get all set up. I'm ready for this big, awesome match, a rivalry match. ECS is pumped to be back and then have all these people in the stadium. It was like not completely full, but it was like way more people and way more excitement and energy there. Right before it starts, the boom, boom, clap, my kid loses it. He's like, what are all these drums and what's going on? And okay, great. He's like looking around, freaked out. The fire goes off to start the match. He like cannot handle it. So it's really hot. So his mom goes to get us some waters and she like leaves and he's like, where is mama? Like, what is going on? Starts screaming his face off with a mask on. So he's screaming in the front row while the match starts. We made it 1 full minute. But now my review of the rest of CenturyLink Field or the Lumen Field. The ramps there, if you have a kiddo, that is where it's at. You can ramp up and down, running back and forth for hours. Sounders put on a great first minute performance. I don't know about the rest of the match. It seemed like it was fine or whatever. But man, those ramps were there for the entire first half.
You spent the entire first half going up and down the ramps?
Yeah, pretty much.
Oh.
After we calmed down and stopped screaming and found mama and got water and all that stuff. But it was like, my God, do not take children places ever thinking that it's going to be a good time. Oh. Also, our seats are problematic, but it was a disaster.
It sounds like maybe it was a little bit overstimulating between the noise and the fire and...
Yeah, and just the general heat. Like, it's a tough, it's a tough ask.
99, that's a lot.
But then we're in the ramp, so we go back to the car, whatever. We paid $35 for parking in the stupid parking garage, the worst, for literally 1 minute of soccer, which was just awesome. And then we're headed to the car, and you hear... And he's like, oh, what's that? That sounds fun. And I'm like, I will
kill you.
I brought you into this world and now.
You might be named after Harry Ship, but he's been.
I had the same thought as Aaron the Math Guy.
Yeah.
Where I was like, Harry, that's a either gender name. We'll go with that.
Yeah. Well, I am sorry. I am sorry to hear that.
Yeah,
I got to do the thing where my wife was very mad at me that there happened to be a match on. My brother was in town and they were visiting. We had a kid's birthday party to go to the next day. Yeah. And as somebody who is going to have a kid somewhat soon, every time I see a child or hear stories like this, I'm like, why am I doing this? Like, what are we doing? Anyway, so my brother comes into town, Steven, who will never be on this podcast. Steven comes into town and we watch the match together. And let me tell you what, every time I watch the match with Steven or with any of my friends, and I'm trying to tweet from Full 90 podcasts throughout the match while also talking to my sibling. And like half the time I'm just stealing the jokes that he makes during the match. Good. The other half of the time I'm feeling like a total jerk because I'm like not paying attention to the people who are around me. And I'm like buried into my phone trying to like please people on the internet. But it was really fun to have him in town. But it was also what a frustrating match to watch.
So I for me it was really easy. I could break it down for you really quickly. There was some passing and then there was a corner kick and Will Bruin missed the header for a chance on goal and then it was over.
Yeah, and so, then you went up a bunch of ramps.
Man, let me tell you, you get to that all the way up to the Delta the box level there and it's you've really covered some altitude by that point. So
yeah, good thing it wasn't hot out or anything.
Right.
Now, so the Sounders remain undefeated, but is it time to panic? They have now given up a goal, not just one, but two goals in the run of play.
Man, it really goes to show that the defense has been phenomenal and that you're missing the Nuhu effect out there because finally, maybe it's the heat too, but finally you see a crack in the central defense and the goals start dripping in. It's remarkable to see how well the three or the four guys that are rotating in and out of those positions have played to this point in the season, because to not give up a goal and then to have both of them be given up by players in that position, it like speaks volumes about what's happening.
And I think, to be fair, like, Abe Sissoko, who's been playing incredibly well, makes a big mistake on the first goal and just gets beat. And then on the second goal, Stephen Cleveland, who, again, has been doing really well. We said he's a little bit of a sweeper keeper in the last episode. That comes hurts him in this match, right?
Yeah, that goal was the same one, the AB Sissoko. He made the first mistake, and then Cleveland came out at the same time, and they were both exposed. The second goal was when, O'Neal tried to head the ball and missed.
Right.
And left it on a plate for that guy to touch four times on his way to scoring.
Yeah. With his hand, by the way, which was not reviewed, which I think I called in real time. I was like, handball, and then they didn't check it. Anyway, so the two goals given up. That said, like, this Sounders defense has been playing obviously incredibly well, and thankfully the Sounders defense in Jimmy Bedronda ends up earning the tie for the team, so good news for the Sounders to remain undefeated. Unfortunate that they've given up those two goals. We don't know yet when who's going to be back, so it's a little difficult to know, like, when does this Arriaga is still up with Copa America with Ecuador, has not played a minute for them in this tournament yet, so good thing we've given him up. So I think that this team going into this match against Colorado, we're previewing it early, apparently. For skipping all of the other stuff that we said we were going to talk about. The defense, you know, shows a couple cracks, but I think not anything to be concerned about yet.
Hey, my big concern is that it was going to happen at some point, and how do you react? So what do they do this week in practice to just get the confidence back? Both of them were just little momentary lapses. You hear Steve Zakuani in the broadcast be like, O'Neal has been so good. Wait, is that his name?
Shane O'Neal?
Shane O'Neal, thank you.
Yeah.
I'm like, O'Neal Fisher is all I can, pull. Like, Shane O'Neal's been so good all season long, and to just have that lapse is just something that happens. And so if he can bounce back and play hard in the next match, and if, assuming that Sissoko, who's young, can just shake it off and keep going, you don't see this really being a big problem. But they could also leak three or four more goals in the next match, and you might start to see some problems develop. So I'm just curious to see what will happen in the coming match. I'm more worried about Christian Roldan.
Yeah, in the next coming... So we have the Rapids on the 4th of July, on Independence Day, in Colorado at the Richard, is what they call their stadium, or that's what I call their stadium at least, Dick's Sporting Good Park.
Yeah.
Now, after that match is when the Gold Cup is starting, which is a international tournament played among all of the teams within CONCACAF, the Cup of CONCACAF Cup. And so Christian Roldan has been called into the United States men's national team, meaning that he will likely miss the next two matches after the Colorado match against Houston Dynamo and Minnesota United. Every time I see the Minnesota United initials, MNU FC, I'm always like, Manchester Soda United. So Minnesota United and Houston Dynamo, those next two matches he's likely going to miss. Alex Roldan, his brother, has been called up by El Salvador, where he now has citizenship. So he's going to be going to the Gold Cup for El Salvador and likely missing both of those matches. Now, both of those players might not have had the greatest of the last two matches. However, they are both obviously key players for the Sounders.
Yeah, I argued last time out that Christian Roldan has been more important than most of the rest of the team. You got Rui Diaz putting goals in. They've played awesome without Ladero, and Roldan is the reason why that's been working so well.
Jao Paulo is already filling in some big boots for Ladero by taking the set pieces, by being a real playmaker in the middle of the field, by keeping the ball, by just distributing the way that he has. Christian Roldan being the guy that can just cover the rest of everything that Jao Paulo isn't doing and making some really good runs at the same time. Alex Roldan, having the revelation that he's had in the last season, being an incredible crosser of the ball up and down the right wing. Thankfully, there are some players. The Sounders seem to be stacked in outside wingers these days. However, it's going to be a big missing both of those players, in addition to Nuhu, in addition to Ladero. The Sounders are going to be stretched pretty thin.
Now, that's not unique to them. Their opponents will also be missing some guys to the same set of circumstances, I would imagine. And so we'll see. It's interesting that he gets called up now for U.S. men's national team for the tournament that they take less seriously, you know. But, hey, develop some depth. Maybe he shows some real resolve to be included further in the future of this squad. That I think that U.S. men's national team's looking real good. There's a lot of potential there.
Yeah.
Okay, so that means rolled on for this weekend, but after that, we don't know. I wonder if you maybe see someone else get to step up a bit to play in that position, to just get a little bit of game minutes to work out what it's going to look like in the coming weeks.
So we saw Josh Atencio step into the last match against where they got they got the draw. He played extremely well, I think. And then Danny Leyva comes in, and he's been coming in as a substitute lately, and in my opinion, playing incredibly well. He's still like a scrawny guy, like a young scrawny guy. So I don't know if he has the ball holding ability that Christian. Don't. Just don't. Damn it. I don't know if he has the ability to keep the ball in possession as well as Christian Roldan does. However, he's a guy who showed a lot of promise over the last couple matches, the last couple seasons, really. So I think maybe between some of these younger guys, you're going to start to see the Sounders have to lean on those guys a little bit more. Kellen Rowe obviously is another guy that can come in and play.
When he took the field before the match, we were there for that part. When he took the field, the crowd, God, he's a crowd favorite. He comes out and he lit up with people going nuts, and ECS starts chanting 253 as kid or as a Pacific Northwest kid.
Yeah.
And like he went from just like smiling about it or whatever to turning and like getting pumped for him. And so like that's fun.
It's cool. In a way, I kind of see, you know, we've always talked about Christian Roldan kind of taking the mantle from Ozzie Alonso as the aggressive midfielder who's going to, you know, be the honey badger, the guy that just runs around the field, goes into tackles with just absolutely fearless. In a way, I think that Kellen Rowe has somewhat taken on a piece of that as the local guy who we saw in the Portland match, him getting up in the faces of a bunch of the players. I actually saw a little bit in the most recent match of him getting up in the face of a lot of players. And he's on the field for like a few seconds, and all of a sudden he's wanting to fight. So I love to see that from him. He seems like he's really having now being playing for the local team, the team that he grew up around, being from Federal Way, I see him kind of like playing for that badge a little bit, a lot more than you. It's similar with Alex Roldan, who's come here and like adopted Seattle as his home, playing for that badge. I just love to see that from a player like Kellen Rowe.
I think that Kellen Rowe's got a bit of that deuce.
Yeah.
Like a little bit of that, like kind of just like he's real chippy and real gritty. Now, Deuce, of course, is out there. He takes it to a whole new level when he's playing. But yeah, that same type of scrappiness that maybe you make up for what some other guys have out there in skill. And I don't have any skill at this, so I'm a fine one to talk. But
that's
like
why you're such a
harsh. yeah, but I don't. I see sometimes maybe you need a guy out there. What do they call that in hockey? The guy that comes out and picks the fights.
Oh, you're.
They made a whole movie about it with the guy who plays Stifler.
Oh my gosh.
It's not a bruiser. It's not, oh my God, the hockey fans right now are like, ah!
my brother, for instance.
What's it? An enforcer?
Enforcer. No. Yeah, no, that's right. Yeah, it's the enforcer.
It's a goon is the name of the.
Sure, sure. But enforcer is like the. When you say you have a. What do they call it in.
Here we go again.
Oh my gosh. Never mind.
Redditor.
No. That's from our other podcast that we haven't released yet.
Anything but that? yeah, but the idea that you bring a guy out there that is hard on his sleeve and plays tough, that's like that could be worth a lot. I find it really interesting that Ja Paulo became that Ozzie Alonso character and that Christian Roldan can play in the opposing half a lot more. He doesn't have to drop back as much in cover. That's crazy.
Goes to show how many players you need to make up the one loss Alonso. That is one Ozzie Alonso. It's like that. I don't know if you've watched it yet, but the Invincible is that animated show on I think Amazon or something like that. That's there's this meme that comes out of it, and it's the superhero looking at this other superhero, and he's like, "Look what they need to imitate even a fraction of our power." It's Ozzy Alonso up there, and then like three now Sounders players.
Yeah, but for real, it's crazy. Yeah. Like, that's been really an interesting revelation there.
Yeah.
Okay. So New Who, we don't know really what his status is. Fry back in training. That's cool. He's looking ripped. Yeah. My God. If there's one thing he's been doing while he's out, it's been working out. So that and art, I suppose. It'll be interesting. I wonder how much longer we have before we see Stephen Fry, and at what point Steph Cleveland has to hand over the gloves and be like, okay, he's been playing out of his mind. So
sorry, it was like, 99 degrees. These gloves are incredibly sweaty.
Do not smell them, whatever you do. Okay, you have Columbus Crew written here. What's going on?
So Columbus Crew are opening a new stadium. They, yeah. If we famously remember the saga that Columbus went through with their previous owner, Anthony Precourt, wanting to move the Crew to Austin because of business metrics or something like that.
Hashtag save the SC.
Yeah, save the Crew and then change the Crew and then no, not like that. Hashtag. So
hashtag no, not like that.
Hashtag no, not like that. Save the Crew, but please do it our way. Anyway, so Anthony Precourt ends up getting his team. That's now Austin FC. They opened the stadium before Columbus Crew, the team that's been in the league since 1996, were able to open their stadium. Columbus Crew is opening their new stadium, and in order to celebrate their goals, I think that they're trying to replicate a little bit of what someone like the Portland Timberwolves do, where when they score a goal, they have Timber Kangaroo Joey, he, you know, slices a piece off of the log, right? The Columbus Crew have decided that in order to honor their history or whatever, they're going to have a man in a hard hat, like from their original crest.
Yeah.
Jackhammer a celebratory piece of concrete.
Listen, I can get there. I can get there with the jackhammer thing. It makes a lot of noise. It's fun. It's a big destructive thing. But like, you got to have something of purpose to jackhammer, like a statue of Stephen Fry or whatever. Yeah. Or like some porn star or something. Wait, no, that's the wrong kind of. Wrong kind of jackhammer.
Yeah. Well, it's maybe they'll do something like, I don't know. They haven't torn down the old stadium, so it's not like they have a bunch of concrete from the old stadium. But like, maybe that's something that they'll eventually implement. Like, we're jackhammering.
Destroy the past.
Yeah. Like we've done with your crest.
Yeah, they should just get the old crest. Yeah. It's just jackhammering.
So it's like what are they like going to be taking pieces of sidewalk and just? Oh, I guess this part right here. We go live to Columbus John in or Crew John in. Columbus, Ohio, and he's just like, I guess this sidewalk outside of this restaurant will do.
You do it with like a, what's it called when you like gentrification?
Yeah.
Well, with a jackhammering, like just jackhammering away at like a traditionally black neighborhood to be like, this is a future side of a Whole Foods.
Freddie Montero, Santos Coffee going right here.
Well, at least he's a minority.
So what my question though is, and so you kind of you have examples of this around the league. So you have obviously the Portland Timberwolves doing what they're doing. You have Columbus Crew now jackhammering a piece of concrete. In the New England Revolution have a bunch of guys dressed up like revolutionary fighters. They shoot their muskets off when that happens.
Cool.
Now, I'm trying to think of like other leagues, like New York Red Bulls, every time they score a goal, they release a bucking bronco out of the, or no, a bull out of the gate, and a guy has to ride it. Whoever scores the goal has to ride the bull for 8 seconds. Or like, what's another team?
That's all the teams.
Yeah.
The Rapids, they just like, they have a log flume, like a flume ride that comes through.
Yeah, like. Yeah. The loons do a duck hunt. Like, who knows? But, so my question is, like, what would be the Sounders celebratory goal tradition if they were to have one, right? Like, do they celebratory harpoon a whale? Like, how many orcas do we have to release from SeaWorld every time the Sounders score a goal?
That's more socially conscious than killing a whale. Yeah, but
If you've seen what's the movie? Chronicle. Have you seen Chronicle?
No, of course not.
It's like a superhero movie that's shot kind of like Blair Witch, where these regular guys in Seattle develop superpowers. Anyway, the ending, sorry to spoil it, it's been out for like 10 years.
Yeah, no, it's fine.
The ending, the guy that goes evil ends up getting, I think, impaled on the Space Needle. So how many dudes do we have to impale on the Space Needle?
Well, it's crazy because you got to think about, like, what's the local industry? Like, the crane operators, that's what it is right now. So, like, do we just have, like, crane away the player who scores or something like that?
Or? Or maybe it's you toss a fish. You know?
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, I think maybe something like that. That makes more sense. Like, that was something that you could actually do in the stadium. You
toss it to a fan. Just catch him flopping.
Yeah. Oh, no. Oh, God. Oh, God.
Oh, it's in my boobs. Oh.
Maybe every time you score, Jeff Bezos has to pay a tax.
He will see to it that the team has the worst players, if that's the case.
Anyway, I don't you know, we do things like free tacos, but that's not necessarily local. So maybe that's the question.
Oh, I got it. That should time we ground another 737.
Yeah. Oh, great. Perfect. maybe that's the question this week. Instead of telling us who your favorite player is, and instead of telling me what I should name my child,
should our celebration
be? What should be the Seattle specific goal celebration that we do behind the net that does not involve like murdering an animal or tossing a fish to a fan?
There's a certain element of our listenership that'll be like, oh, you set up a tent and sprinkle needles all around it.
Oh, yeah, okay, don't be like that. Don't be like that.
Damn it, Greg.
You every time you score a goal, you recall Inslee and elect Lauren Culp.
There's people that still have Culp signs up in my greater neighborhood. Like, what are you doing?
I know.
Come on.
Regardless, of, like, it's just like, you lost. Did you lose, though?
Did you?
I didn't lose. It was stolen.
What do you do? Like, do you, like, I don't know, displace people with better wages or something like that?
Yeah,
or
yeah.
Like, you're just like, hey, this whole section is now out because we found people to pay 10 times more for it. If we could pry Brandon away from watching the Peacock footage of Tour de France Sunday, 6 p.m., 4th of July. Oh, you won't be allowed to watch this match, Brandon. Colorado Rapids, welcome Seattle Sounders FC at the Richard. That's nice. I like that. That was a good choice. It's the undefeated Sounders after 12 matches now, I think.
Something like that,
I don't have
7-0-4, I believe.
Yeah, not bad. That's still top of the league, which is impressive. With a game in hand over New England last I checked. They might have played last night, though. So, anyway, Raul Ruiz Diaz, scoring machine.
Yeah, first of all, this year's tour is not on Peacock. It's on regular old NBC, but it doesn't really matter because their app will not let me watch it because it's a piece of garbage.
No, but I turned on my TV last night and it was like Tour de France coverage. Tour de France coverage via Peacock, and that was like the first option that I had when I was in the app section of my Xfinity. Was like, I think it is on Peacock.
It's also on regular old NBC.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's on not at the same time because my wife and I have been getting up at 7 o'clock to watch the last 69 kilometers every morning. So, and it's actually been great today. The stage winner. Before we get into this match, yes, Raul Ruiz Diaz has scored in three straight matches. Great.
But tell me who's wearing the polka dot jersey.
Actually, right now, there is a guy in the polka dot jersey. It's not that indicative right now because he only got 5 points because there haven't been that many mountain stages yet. What's crazy is that Mark Cavendish, a guy who has been out of the tour for the last few years because he literally suffered from mono for 2 years straight.
Oh, my God.
Got over mono and then got an injury because he was probably out of shape and was training poorly or whatever. Anyway, he has now won two stages of this year's Tour de France. It's awesome. It's awesome. Now, that said, when you think about something like a sport like soccer and you think about the players, we're talking about the best players in their prime are in their, you know, early 20s, mid 20s, you know, you consider a soccer player old when they're in their early 30s, mid 30s, right? Like, I am 30 years old. I would be considered like toward the end of my career if I wanted to say, think about this. Clint Dempsey is 38 years old. And he's retired. He's considered an old man of the sport, right?
Yeah,
he's commentating matches now. Mark Cavendish, the guy who has now won two stages of this year's Tour de France, 38 years old.
Oh, my God.
It is wild to me. So it's one of those sports where it's like, oh, you still have, like me, 30 years old, a cyclist. I still have time. I still have time to make the Tour.
It gets weird when the people that, like for me, people that were born in the 2000s are now able to drink, one, and can be the most elite professional athletes that, like, grew up after I graduated from high school or whatever. That, I'm so far removed from having a shot at being competitive at anything. Now I have to hope for, like, a pretty good management position.
I have to hope that the 12-year-old that they put me up against in karate is not very good at what he does.
That is obviously not how it works. How dare you? We were virtual this year and couldn't compete against each other.
We talked about this on the other unreleased podcast that we did, but punching robots, like, that's going to be the new thing.
I can't wait. Raul Ruiz Diaz, three straight matches he's put a goal in, and he's still just one behind Chicharito in the Golden Boot race. That's pretty sweet.
Yeah, we talked a little bit in the last episode about whether or not Peruvians wear clogs or a wooden shoe of any sort.
Did you look it up?
I did look it up. I could not find anything definitive. So if he wins it, I'm going to call it the Golden Pershoe instead.
Okay, great. Which of those nations is all about the guinea pigs?
Oh, that's Peru. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
they eat them, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I think we talked about this at length when they signed Raul Ruiz Diaz.
Right.
Yeah.
I think we did too.
Rapids coming off a 3-1 loss to Sporting Kansas City. Excuse me, Sporking Kansas City.
Obviously.
Well, a dog just walked by me. I didn't even know my dog was in here. That was creepy. Kansas City currently second in the West, 2 points behind Seattle Sounders.
With a game in hand also.
Yeah. That's who it was a game in hand over. Yeah. Sorry. It wasn't the Revs, but it was Sporkings.
Now, Sounders also have two games in hand over Colorado. The players that you need to watch out for are, so they have 16 points on the season so far, two games in hand. Even if they had won both of those games, one of them being against the Sounders, they would be at, 22 points? And so Colorado still, you know, that would put them in third place. So Colorado, a good team this year. They got guys like Kellen Acosta, who's been playing on the U.S. men's national team. The guys like Michael Barrios, who was not having a great season in the last, scored one in 21 matches, now playing very well for the Rapids. And that team, again, not necessarily a game that you would consider a trap game. Sounders on the road, maybe good for them escaping the hellish climate change weather that we're having on the West Coast.
It was nice and cool in Colorado, too, at the time when we were melting to death here in Seattle. Sounders with the best goal differential in the league as well. As long as Seattle draws or better, as long as they remain unbeaten, they'll still be top of the league. Confirming that, yeah, they'll be top of the league at the end of the weekend. So let's hope that there's not a lot of goals scored in the run of play like last week.
So the Sounders, right, have played 11 matches. Has it been 11 matches? One second.
12.
Sounders
12
FC
12. Are no, sh- 11.
I think it's 11. I think
it's
11.
Sporking's played 12 and they've played 11. Yeah.
Right. So the Sounders are undefeated 11. There are 34 matches in the season, right? The Sounders will play 34 matches. If the Sounders win this match, they will have gone a third of this 2021 season undefeated. Over a third.
Wow, that's crazy.
So
that's crazy.
This is the time of year to think about.
Like, it's crazy to think that we're just a month away from when you have to be a little bit worried about your team's performance. Every year in August is usually when you need them to crank it up and start firing well and be able to play. You know, we're 30, 45 days away from that point where you need your team to be doing great. And that's crazy to think that they've been doing great till this point. They're like the opposite Mariners.
Yeah. Hey, Mariners are three games above 500 and they're halfway through the season.
This season, you're right. It's an anomaly that they're doing pretty decently compared to others. But traditionally speaking.
Sure.
The Mariners are hot for 1 to 7 games, and then by April or by May, the wheels have come off the train.
I think something else to think about is something that Siggy Schmid would always say, and former Sounders coach would always say, is that you need 50 points in order to guarantee a spot in the playoffs. That was his rule of thumb. If you as a team get over 50 points, you're pretty safe to make it in the playoffs.
Whew, not bad.
Now, the Sounders, through 11 games, are halfway there.
Only
a third of the way into the season. Sounders on 25 points. So, obviously, I don't think that the Sounders should be setting the bar so low that they are sneaking into the playoffs with something like 50 points, especially a third of the way through the season. You're sitting at the top of the Supporters Shield standings. But all things considered, going into the season with the expectations as low as they were for the Sounders, with the amount of injuries that they had through the first half or the first third of the season, the Sounders have got to be feeling very, very good about making this their, 13th appearance in 40 years or 13th appearance in 10 years into the playoffs. They have to be feeling good about that. With all of these injuries, you maybe don't get your hopes up yet about something like a Supporters Shield, but 25 points, undefeated through a third of the season, potential to be undefeated through over a third of the season after 12 matches. I'm feeling good about this team, even after kind of a disappointing draw against a team like the Whitecaps, who are bad.
It's crazy to think that LAFC, who got knocked out of the playoffs by, was it Seattle, I think? Were on 72 points at the end of the 2019 season. That's so crazy to think that the Sounders would have to continue their current form for the rest of the season in order to be able to beat that total. That's nuts.
Yeah.
Cool. Okay. Well, in case this podcast was too long and you just didn't listen, it's too long, didn't listen.
Yeah, too long, didn't listen.
Ramps.
That was too short. Too long, didn't listen. I can't. Ramps. That's this week's description for the podcast. Ramps.
Ramps.
Too long, didn't listen.
Follow the show at hashtag no no, not like that.
Oh, too long, didn't listen.
Wait, real quick, back to the no, not like that. It sounds like how your wife is accidentally pregnant.
We did it on purpose, but
okay.
It was an accident. Too long, didn't listen.
Tarps off, tits out, let's go.
I'm a dad now.
Rubbish.